This is an iHeart podcast.
Okay, let's talk about the GOP endorsements of Donald Trump. Let's talk about great things from the FBI. Let's discuss health things, the Ark of the Covenant, all covenant. That's weird. All that and more coming up on I'm Right. Okay, let's talk. And the talk we're about to have, I'm just going to warn you right now, it might be hard to hear. We're going to have a talk about good, bad, being an uneven person. We're going to talk about Trump's endorsement of Lindsey Graham. Before I get to that, let me just say this for the record. We are all of us, every single person, you, me, everybody walking the planet, we are all uneven, if I had to put it that way. Uneven, meaning there are going to be things you are good at and things you are terrible at. Doesn't matter what you do in life, that's just how we are. There's only been one perfect person who ever walked the planet. We're all uneven. Me, you know I can't write. I know I wrote a book, only one, and I had to have my buddy Nick Rizzuto help me write it, but I hated every single minute of it. Did you know that? If you told me to write 1,000 words right now, 1,000 words, it's not even much, 1,000 words, I would get this knot in the pit of my stomach like you can't imagine. Like most people would get if they were standing on a 1,000-foot cliff. That's how much I hate writing. I can't do it. I can't get my thoughts and my words on a piece of paper. I can't do it. Now you ask me to sit and talk, I talk for 4 hours a day. TV, radio, no problem. I'm uneven. Donald Trump, just like all of us, is amazingly uneven. And honestly, the bigger figure you are, the more seminal figure you are, the more uneven you seem to be. Michael Jordan was the greatest basketball player ever. Rumor has it, horrible family man. Elon Musk might be the most intelligent person to ever walk the planet. He's got more kids than Genghis Khan. Donald Trump is very, very good at many things. When it comes to internal politics inside the GOP, moving chess pieces around, getting the right people in the right place, making the right endorsement, he might be the worst person I've ever seen in my entire life. It's true. I want to show you something. This is Lindsey Graham, just some of Lindsey Graham's greatest hits.
So this bill would allow judges to take guns away from a guy like this before it's too late.
My bill with Blumenthal. The grant program for red flag laws, I think we've got in a really good spot with the White House, but that's just part of the package.
If the committee decided to, say, increase by $100 million your budget, could you spend it wisely?
I can assure you that any money that this committee thinks
good
sees fit, I promise it'll be good to
use. I believe you.
Pardoning the people who went into the Capitol and beat up a police officer violently, I think was a mistake because it seems to suggest that's an okay thing to do.
This idea, give up on Ukraine, makes the world safer. If you pull the plug on Ukraine because you don't have enough capability, there goes Taiwan.
You and your people, you're the ally I've been hoping for all my life. Not one American has died defending Ukraine. You've taken our weapons and you've kicked their ass, and I'm very proud to have you as our ally.
Lindsey Graham isn't a bad senator for a Republican. Lindsey Graham's just bad. Do you know Heritage, they give these senators scores? You know how you hate the GOP Senate, how I hate the GOP Senate? You can't name more than 4 or 5 good ones you like. You know what the average Heritage score of the GOP senator is? You know? 78%. Okay, that's bad, right? 78%. You know what Lindsey Graham's score is? 56. Lindsey Graham is the enemy of everything you hold dear. Lindsey Graham works day and night wearing a GOP uniform to undercut every single thing you want for your country. And last night, I was getting ready to go to bed. I wasn't even paying attention to the news. Trump puts this out on social media, and it's a long post. I'm not even going to read the whole thing. Senator Lindsey Graham has my complete and total endorsement for re-election. He will not let you down. Letting me down is what Lindsey Graham does for a living. And again, I can't look at the Trump presidency so far and complain that much. It's been a great couple months. Obviously, we need some things to move forward. We need deportations to increase and things. I get all that. And there have been some hiccups here and there. I get that. But man alive, we have 1,000 battles to fight. 1,000 of these battles. Winning the presidency was 1 of 1,000. How many times have we had that talk? We have to win seat after seat after seat. Senate seat, House seat, local, state House, state Senate, city council, school board. 1,000 battles we have to fight. And we elect Donald Trump, and he gets in there, he does all these things we want, and then he starts kneecapping us on the battles we need. I'm so incredibly frustrated with this stuff, because there's no more powerful, influential Republican in the United States of America than Donald Trump by a mile. I can already see all the hate mail that's going to pour into the show after this rant. And by the way, I don't give a crap about your hate mail. I'm telling you the truth, and you know I am. Put the pom-poms down. It's embarrassing. And I'm worried about Texas. Texas is one of these states that could have the reddest senator, the senator furthest to the right, further to the right than you can imagine. In this red state of Texas, anybody who gets through the GOP primary would be elected senator in this state. John Cornyn is up next year for re-election. This John Cornyn.
In President Trump's first term, he made America great, and Texas Senator John Cornyn had his back.
And we're especially grateful to your wonderful senators, John Cornyn and Ted Cruz.
This is John Cornyn. It's an honor to represent Texas in the U.S. Senate. In President Trump's first term, I was Republican whip, delivering the votes for his biggest wins. Now, I'm running for re-election and asking for your support, so President Trump and I can pick up where we left off.
It's going to be 2 years of this. 2 years of this Senate boob sucking up to Trump, pretending he's like Trump, trying to get the Trump endorsement. And I'll tell you right now, I'm worried sick, because we have a real opportunity next year. If the rumors are true and Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton is going to challenge John Cornyn in the Senate primary, we have a real opportunity next year to take out a rhino, to ditch him. That opportunity probably disappears if Donald Trump steps in and does exactly what he did last night, choose the swamp side, choose the rhino side. I mean, look, here's some of John Cornyn's greatest hits.
Hi, I'm Texas Senator John Cornyn. The last year has proven quite a challenge as we've navigated the impact of COVID-19. But with safe and effective vaccines finally being administered, there's light at the end of the tunnel. Getting vaccinated is the fastest way that life can return to normal.
Under the effective leadership of Director Ray, the agency has remained committed to doing things independently and by the book.
Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. I've called this the most important law that most people have never heard of. It's been called the crown jewel of U.S. intelligence.
Please, anybody in the White House listening, please speak to President Trump. Implore him to do the right thing when it comes to the Texas Senate next year, because we have an opportunity, and it is one Trump can take away like that. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We have a huge show for you. Talk about the White House, the AP, so many things. But first, let me talk to you about getting yourself a good night's sleep every night. It's important. Changes your entire world. Changes how you feel all day long. Changes how you work, your relationships. But what do you take to sleep? There's so many things. You can ask the doctor and he'll prescribe something for you. You can take something from the over-the-counter in the pharmacy. Why would you do that when you have something natural? You could have a delicious cup of hot chocolate before bed and it'll put you to sleep. It's Dream Powder from Beam. Me, I take a little cup of milk. I nuke it, microwave it. mix in some dream powder. This is about a half hour before bed. Sip on it, and I drift off to sleep like a baby every time. I never miss a good night's sleep because of dream powder. You want to try a bag? Just try one bag. You'll always have it, I promise. Shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Ms. Marr, I'm sure you're aware that Hunter Biden had a laptop.
I am, sir, yes.
Okay. And there were many stories written about said laptop.
Yes, sir.
And in 2020, unfortunately, NPR's managing editor for news refused to cover the story, and he branded it a, quote, waste of time. How many times did you all interview Adam Schiff about the Russia collusion?
I'm sorry, I don't have that number.
It was 25 times. You know how many times NPR interviewed Chairman of this committee, Oversight Committee, Jamie Comer, about the Biden impeachment inquiry, the Hunter Biden tax evasion and illicit business dealings of the Biden family?
I'm sorry, I don't know.
I believe that's zero. You believe your reporters are fair? You said they're fair and they're working at it.
I believe that they work to be every day, sir.
They're non-biased. And yet, you have the voter registration issue. I mean, we're all human beings. We're all going to see through the world through a certain lens. And are you aware of any Republicans, any registered Republicans in your newsroom?
I couldn't say registered, but I know we have conservatives in our newsroom, yes.
Okay, so the recent registration, when it was looked at, 87 Democrats and zero Republicans registered.
I found that very concerning.
Yeah,
sir.
I would. Not even 40 to 30 or 50 to 20, 87 to zero. But it shouldn't be surprising when their own CEO says things like, I'm so done with late stage capitalism, or calls the president of the United States a deranged racist sociopath, or that America's addicted to white supremacy.
That made me uncomfortable, and it takes a lot to make me uncomfortable. Joining me now, Monica Page, White House correspondent with Turning Point USA. Monica, look, I hate NPR as much as the next man, but I also hate the fact that we're still funding it. Where's the GOP at? I love the hearings. Hey, I like Pat. I know Pat. Where's the defunding coming? I'm promised it every other day.
You and me both, Jesse. I mean, I feel the same way. Did you know that just last year alone, NPR received just about $11 million in federal funding? And for what? I don't know about you, but I listen to NPR only when I'm in an Uber. For some reason, the Uber drivers always seem to be playing NPR on the radio on my way to the White House or back home. And sometimes I'm interested. What are they talking about? It's always interesting to hear what NPR has playing or what they're reporting on. And it's always either a half truth or it's something that they just never did their full research on. So it's about time that DOGE really gets the chainsaw and starts, you know, ripping through these organizations, like not only NPR, but PBS and these state-funded, federally funded news organizations that aren't bringing the American people the truth. They've been lying. They're propagandists. This is what they do. And it's about time that we need the full truth brought by our outlets like yourself and like us here at Turning Point and Frontlines and other, you know, small little organizations here that are really have a big voice in the grand scheme of things.
Monica, as people can see from your background, you are inside the belly of the beast. So maybe you can help me understand why does the GOP not do these basic popular things, like things Trump campaigns on, and then the House or the Senate, they won't do it. But these are the things people like. And it's way beyond NPR or any of these other things. What is it about that place that makes GOPers just their brain and their guts fall out?
It's a very interesting dynamic, and I'm kind of glad that you brought this up, because I feel like sometimes the GOP and Republicans really need to be pushed a little bit, and President Trump is always the one to push things forward. I mean, he's a doer. He'll do everything that he says he's going to do. That's what makes him so popular. That's what won him the popular vote in November. So when you see these House Republicans, or just as these establishment Republicans here, who are really slow walking what the American people want, and these great ideas that will truly make America great again, it's a little bit concerning, and it kind of makes me a little wary as to what the future would look like post President Trump. Will, you know, whoever comes next, if it's not JD Vance, will they do what they say they're going to do? And I think that, you know, a lot of the changes that have been brought here, whether it's with the media, with the economy, immigration, you name it, it's all because of President Trump. He is a kingmaker, but he also is a doer. And I think that this is, you know, something that many people have been asking themselves for years. Why isn't anything done? Why are we slow walking? Why aren't we doing this or that? And these are just questions that everybody should be asking themselves. But, you know, the man in the White House right now, he always fulfills the promises. He brings results, real results, saving people money, abolishing, you know, these sanctuary cities, perhaps, that might come today or in the coming future, and just making life easier for everybody and safer for everybody. It makes you wonder what the true agenda is with the establishment GOP. Are they in it because of the money? Are they in it because other people have something on them? It is a very interesting dynamic between President Trump and the establishment GOP.
It is extremely interesting. Monica, I personally am greatly enjoying watching the Associated Press get treated like the pawn scum they are. How enjoyable is it for you to have a front row seat to all this?
Oh, it's hysterical. I mean, it's funny to kind of watch all the mainstream media and the legacy media outlets kind of rallying around the AP. We got a very long email from the White House Correspondents Association President Eugene Daniels just last night saying, you know, hey, the AP is back in court for their second hearing. They're really hoping that everybody can rally around them, show up to the courthouse, wear, you know, your pro-First Amendment pin on your lapels, share this image on social media to show that you stand with the First Amendment and with the AP. And what's interesting is that I don't understand why exactly this is such a big thing, because when I was, you know, under the Biden White House, I was never called on. I was always silenced. I never got my emails returned. Every time I try to get a question or an answer from anybody in the White House, my emails went deleted or ignored. So I think it's a very hypocritical situation that the AP is putting themselves in. And yes, they do appear in court. I believe that, you know, the judge in this case refused the injunction that the AP was asking the White House to stop banning them from events in the Oval Office or Air Force One. So it'll be interesting to see what the future is for the AP, if there even is one. Many people have seen through the lies that the AP has spread over the last 4 years, especially covering up for Joe Biden's, you know, mental cognitive decline, because they were also contributing to that as well. And just the lies that they spread about President Trump. I mean, I don't blame this administration for banning the AP. The AP, what does it contribute to America? It contributes just as much as NPR or PBS. If you're not going to, you know, call the Gulf of America the Gulf of America, if you're not going to call it Mount McKinley instead of, you know, why would you even want to have the respect of the president or even just be in the room where hundreds of other people like myself would love to be in that space and treat it with respect? And the AP's disrespect time over time, you know, it's about time that this has happened.
Monica, finally, there are things that sound amazing but turn out to kind of suck. Like stuffed crust pizza is a great example. It sounds great, looks great. It never adds up. It's never as good as you think it's going to be. What's it like in the White House to be in that room? It's big. It's important. I've never been. I'm sure I'll never get invited. Is it cool?
Well, I would say for the past year and a half covering Joe Biden, it was a very different White House compared to what we've been seeing in just 2.5 months. I mean, you go to some of the press briefings under Joe Biden and there'd be people not even sitting in their seats. There'd be empty seats across the entire room. Now, good luck even trying to find a little space at the carpet in the press briefing room, because everybody's standing, everyone's crowding in, everyone wants to know what the president is doing because he's doing so much. But here, being a reporter who is about common sense, it's not about maybe conservative values, it's about bringing common sense and representing the American people, it's been a little bit of a challenge. I mean, you walk around here and it seems like the legacy media knows you because they've seen articles written about you, but it's a pretty vile space. I mean, you've had reporters here for decades that have really made this entire White House their entire personality, about how, you know, they show up for the past 50 years, for decades that they've covered and chasing after these politicians. And it really is crazy. The Biden White House really bred a sense of elitism among some of these reporters, that just because you have a seat, it means you're definitely going to get called on in the briefing room. But that's not the case anymore. This White House that we're seeing right now has completely transformed that and turned it upside down. Now, people who never had a voice, like myself, finally have a voice, and it's refreshing. So I definitely encourage, you know, more small, you know, reporters or those who, you know, maybe haven't had a voice to step up to the plate and really join the White House. I mean, it is definitely a fun experience, but it's not for the weak, because there are a lot of people that are looking to, you know, try and get you for everything. You kind of have to watch what you say, watch every move that you make here, because you never know who's watching, especially that front row of the briefing room. Caitlin Collins, AP, NBC, CBS, you name it. They watch you like hawks. It's pretty crazy.
That's wild. Monica, enjoy yourself. Get some stuffed crust pizza. All right. Now, FBI made a big arrest. We'll talk about that. Talk to Steve about a few things. Before we get to that, let me talk to you about your phone. You know what I'd do if I was in the White House? Probably step outside, because I don't think I would enjoy it very much. I'd step outside and I'd call somebody. And you know what? My calls will go through because I have Pure Talk. And when you switch to Pure Talk, it's not just that you're supporting the patriotic cell phone company. They're on the same network. You realize that. There's no reason, hear me here, there is no reason not to switch to Pure Talk. You save money. It's painless. You keep your phone, you keep your number, or get a new phone. They have all that. They're on the same network, so your service is the same, and you deal with a pro-American company. Why haven't you switched? It's cake. Take you a few minutes. PureTalk.com/JesseTV is where you go to switch. Switch to Pure Talk. We'll be back.
Early this morning, one of the top leaders of MS-13 was apprehended. He was the leader for the East Coast, one of the top three in the entire country. Right here in Virginia, living half an hour outside of Washington, D.C. He is an illegal alien from El Salvador, and he will not be living in our country much longer.
I've been working on this literally for the first 3 years of our administration with little to no help from the senior leadership in the federal government and the Biden administration.
This is what happens when you let good cops be cops. And we're going to continue to let good cops be cops across this country.
All right. But look, there's a lot to love right now. Celebrate it. I certainly don't want to be Debbie Downer, but I can't help but think we keep rounding all these people up in the first 2 months. So the Biden administration knew where they all were. Joining me now, my friend Steve Days, host of the amazing Steve Days Show. First of all, congratulations, my friend. It's my understanding you are going to be with the wonderful Blaze for a few more years. That's one, two. Steve?
I know. I am just as surprised as everyone else as they fell for it again, Jesse. So thank you. Yes, I will be.
Do Democrats want rapists and murderers in the country, Steve? How am I supposed to take it any other way?
I don't know that you. I don't know how you could. I think ultimately you have to understand that for the left, Jesse, and I know you understand this, but I think our audiences need to understand that for the left, everything is about power and control. Everything they do is about what grants them power and control. So, do they want rapists and drug dealers in the country as long as they're not in their neighborhoods? And allowing destabilizing forces in other places where they don't live will give them the power and control that they seek. The answer to that question is yes. It's why you're watching them turn on electric vehicles. Like, I'd never buy one of those in a million years, even if I could afford it. Right? To me, I just think there's just something un-American about a vehicle limiting the amount of I can travel until I charge it for 30 minutes. And of course, then gives the government the power to decide whether to shut the spigot off on me or not. But now they're turning against the very electric vehicles. Two Super Bowls ago, Jesse, every ad was an electric car, shoving them down our throats, mandating that we buy them. Now they're lighting them on fire and literally defecating on them. Why? Well, because Elon Musk is the best-selling electric car dealer in the world, and he's close to the president of the United States, who they loathe, because he's in the way of them acquiring power and control. And this is why woke white women think they can tell Dave Rubin who's really gay, and think they can tell Thomas Sowell who's really black. Okay, because you are in the way of us acquiring the power and control we want. Whatever grants them more power and control is what they're for.
Yeah, these people are freaking monsters. It is. Speaking of monsters, Steve, I'm not going to say I have an issue yet, but I'm starting to have an issue with the Trump administration as it pertains to these judges. Judge Boasberg, of course, the same loser that wanted a plane full of murderers turned around. He, of course, has now gotten the Signal Chat lawsuit. So we are now 2 months into the Trump presidency. We can't have Doge cuts. We can't deport rapists. We can't deport. So at what point in time does the Trump administration stop putting out social media posts complaining and just start ignoring? Because if it's 4 years of this, then it was 4 years of nothing.
I agree with you. At the very minimum, there's an argument taking place. I mean, we've never had an advisor as close to a president of the United States saying the things about the judiciary and the judicial branch in wide open public view that Stephen Miller is saying right now. So that tells me one of two things, that either A, he is doing this at the direct request of Trump in order to till the soil for the confrontation to come, or Trump is maybe playing coalitions within his own administration off of one another, and Stephen Miller at least has enough of a green light to try to win enough opinion on the right to his side. And his side is the right one. What's happening here is that if you're trying to put down a populist revolt, Jesse, then you take bodies that are not popularly elected and therefore not directly accountable to the people to do it. In Trump's first term, we saw this manifest two ways. You saw the unelected intelligence community attempt to do this with Russia collusion, which they were the source for, those bureaucrats. And of course, we're all patriots here. It's post 9/11, and you know that we hold these institutions guarding us and defending our honor, you know, from sea to shining sea at a high esteem. So you don't want to question them, of course. And then when that failed, ultimately did it again with the scamdemic. And so now it's our public health officials, unelected bureaucrats we'd previously never heard of, Debbie Birx, Anthony Fauci, Francis Collins. And of course, I mean, they have our best interest at heart. We put all 75 shots in our kids. They demand, no questions asked. You don't want to hate grandma, right? You know? And so now the new unelected bureaucracy are the judges, all right? And this is the most dangerous psyop of them all of our lives, the right has assumed the position in ankle grab that the mere use of the four words, the courts have spoken. Right? And we thought, because it was a nice grift for people on our side, frankly, that we can play judicial Russian roulette as well. We'll win about 25-30% of the time if we're lucky, but that gives somebody a power base and a banquet circuit to find the next crop of judges and access to the system. Well, we've exhausted that now. And we're at the point now that they're not going to let him be president of the United States unless he defies them. And he's going to have to defy them. That's the only way out. Impeaching a judge sounds great, Jesse. We've done it 15 times ever. The last one was in 2010 over bribery. If we don't have the capital or unity to do that, we're going to get 2/3 of a vote of the senators to do that. We can't get them to 51 votes right now for a friggin' tax cut. What needs to happen is Trump's got a moment here to be a Jefferson Lincoln kind of a figure. Lincoln defied the Supreme Court over Dred Scott when he issued the Emancipation Proclamation. Trump needs to do the same thing. Don't issue a statement. Don't put out a post on Truth Social. Just do it. Just do what the people elect you to do. Use the power they gave you and the authority that they have as the government by the consent of the governed. Just do it. Let them whine. Let them complain and moan. And then take your case to the people in the next election and say, hey, if you like my interpretation of the Constitution, then we get rid of MS-13 and Venezuelan drug lords. Vote for me and my party. If you like the Supreme Court and the Democrats, we just let these people live here in a perpetuity. Vote for them. That's the way it's supposed to work. No one single branch gets the final word on interpreting the Constitution. They all have that authority under the Constitution. And then the final word on the Constitution is actually not any one branch. It's the people. So Trump should fulfill his oath, fulfill the power the Constitution gives him, use the power and authority the people granted him, and then if the courts disagree, take that argument to the people and let them ultimately render the verdict.
Should be noted, just on my own personal note, that if Donald Trump chooses to go full Lincoln, I want him to go full Lincoln and arrest journalists, but that's another story entirely. Joining me now to move on
I could be convinced.
That conversation. All right, focus. I didn't want to put that on you, Stace. I just wanted to own that. I didn't want to put that on you. Now, RFK Jr. has a new CDC director. Trump has a new CDC director, Susan Monterez. What do we know about this woman?
Well, apparently not as much as we thought we did. Now, here's the thing. It seems to me that Trump is assembling a cabinet of rivals on the public health front. You have a variety of views. Many of them represent my own. Some represent other views. He's going to kind of play them off one another and say, hey, you guys figure this out. I think that's probably what's happening here. My real problem with Susan Monterez is, why go get someone? If you wanted someone to represent the conventional medicine big pharma viewpoint so they have a voice in the room as these things are being debated, fine. But there's plenty of people that are loyal to our side that have these exact same views. I don't know why we needed to get a Biden, Kamala, Obama person to do that. You see, I mean, if we're going to grant agency across the spectrum of thought on an issue, reward your own people. I find it funny that I've got to convince the Trump people to practice patronage. It's one of the things they're actually the best at, you know? So I don't understand why we give a seat chair then, you know, give it to one of our people. We have plenty of people with big audiences, you know, that love big pharma and like to remind people their wife's a doctor, give them a seat then. I mean, they're loyal to us on many other issues. Do not give a seat to somebody from the Obama wing of the bureaucracy. That's the part I really don't like. What I'm also fascinated about here, Jesse, is RFK Jr., I mean, he knighted her. He transferred a lot of his extensive political capital in this arena onto her. You know, and so I don't know how many gangster movies and mafia movies you've seen, but, you know, being Sicilian, I've seen quite a few. And what ends up happening if you're the guy that brings the informant into the family? It's not just the informant that gets taken out to Miller's Crossing, brother. You go with him, okay? So this is going to be fascinating. I mean, RFK Jr. did not just simply say, hey, you know, support her. He gave her a vote of confidence with his own credibility. So she better deliver, otherwise people are going to have it reflect back on him every bit as much as her.
Is there a chance? Look, I'm trying to put a sunny face on this whole thing because I'm still steamed about the Lindsey Graham incident, which we haven't even gotten into yet. But is there a chance that the solid people like Dr. J, Martin McCary, there's enough solid people in the health area of this administration where this woman, even if she is a freak, doesn't matter?
100%. I mean, this is the most contrarian healthcare bureaucracy, you know, that's ever been appointed in American history. I mean, even if just one of the guys, Makary, Bhattacharya, even if there are just one, RFK Jr., of course, is the head of them all. He's the tribal chieftain of this entire, you know, tribe. So even if we had just gotten one of those people, man, could you imagine if one of those people were put in a room in March 14th, 15th, or 16th of 2020 with Debbie Birx and Anthony Fauci? If just one Jay Bhattacharya, one Harvey Risch, one Peter McCullough, we got none. Okay, so even one is tremendous progress. For Trump to nominate several of them, I think we should still be very optimistic on this front.
Okay, Steve, finally, I talked about this in the opening. Trump is very good at many things, and like many people who are very good at many things, he's also very bad at many things. We're all probably guilty of that. His internal politicking inside the GOP is so horrible that it makes me want to pull out the very little remaining of the hair on my head. We are daily getting calls to primary Chip Roy and Thomas Massey. And yesterday we got a full-throated, pardon the pun, endorsement of Lindsey Graham. I just, Steve, help me understand.
I at some point, I just have come to the conclusion that in exchange for a couple of positive appearances on Meet the Press and Deface the Nation every year, Trump agrees to keep Lindsey Graham's homosexuality closeted. And there's some Faustian bargain has been struck there. I can't make any other sense of it. Although, let me tell you, brother, Lindsey Graham is not an anomaly in the South Carolina GOP. Like a lot of these red states, like the state you live in, frankly. Okay, there's a lot of these states, man, that have a lot of cachet and don't mess with Texas and we're a red state, we're the buckle of the Bible Belt and all this other kind of garbage branding. And for every, Lindsey Graham's a hydra. Maybe his vices are different, you know, than Shelley Capito's and West Virginia's, okay? But, I mean, the system just spews out so many of these figures from so many of these red states. Much of the representation in I mean, my home state of Iowa, Jesse, we've done a phenomenal job making it on the ground one of the reddest states in the country. We still have not been able to penetrate the veil of who we send to Washington. Pretty much all our entire congressional delegation sucks. You know, and so the amount of money that it takes to get into one of these federal positions and then to hold these federal positions, how captured all these people are. If you got rid of Lindsey Graham, you might get somebody that's not a closeted homosexual, but they'd have many of the exact same issues, unfortunately. These are deep-seated issues in the GOP. I think in many cases, Trump has just decided he can't solve them all. So if you're going to be willing to be semi-loyal to me, then I'll tolerate you. And Lindsey Graham, or I'm sorry, Thomas Massey and Chip Roy are more about those guys think for themselves a little too often, I think, for Trump.
Oh, gosh, you're so true. It's so right about the Texas GOP, too, that the cowboy boots oftentimes come with leather chaps. Steve, thank you, my friend. I appreciate it. We'll be back. Okay. Before I bring in Tracy, I just have to point out what a bunch of godless heathens I must work with on this show, because I'm going to ask Tracy, first of all, just to give away the game a little bit, about the Ark of the Covenant. Maybe they have it. And I kid you not, producer Matt, I think it was producer Matt, called, it's right here on my paper, he called the Ark of the Covenant a wooden storage chest. Gosh, these savages. Joining me now, Tracy Beans, editor-in-chief of Uncover DC. Hey, Tracy, tell me what you know or what you think you know about this wooden storage chest.
How do you do that to me? Really?
I don't know. Anyway,
okay.
Little things like the Ten Commandments are in there, but either way, go on.
Listen, the way that this is being presented to the world is that there were CIA documents that were declassified that explained a remote viewing project where a remote viewer was sent to find this and was able to. And you know, they successfully went through the process of remote viewing and found the box. Now, there's been a lot of talk going on lately, especially since the podcast, The Telepathy Tapes, came out, about human consciousness, what we're capable of, and what's been suppressed for like thousands of years from us to keep us kind of like docile and not realizing, you know, the kind of power we have telepathically or otherwise. I 100% believe this, only because I've done so much work and study into remote viewing and other programs the government has run in that sphere. So that's my comment on it.
Hold on. We are not even going to move on to health stuff until you clarify a couple things for me. What in the world is remote viewing? I need you to break this down in a way that a moron can understand. That would be me.
Remote viewing, it was a project that the CIA did to use psychic people to view targets around the world so that they could then conduct better warfare. And many countries around the world had done this throughout the years. The United States had a program for a very, very long time that checked out. I'll just say people can look into a gentleman named Joseph McGonigal, who was the one who led this program and kind of trained everybody in remote viewing who was capable of doing it. It is an actual real thing that the CIA used for decades. So that's what it is, as per the CIA, who had a program running it forever. I know, it's crazy.
Oh my gosh. I'm so on the outs with all these things. I don't even know what's going on. I do know what's going on with Bill Gates, though, and I do know that if he's allowed to do the things he wants to do, he'd kill more people than Stalin, Mao, and Hitler combined. Here he is.
As we make the world healthier, is the population going to get so big that feeding everybody and maintaining the environment is going to be impossible? Here we can see a chart that looks at the total world population over the last several hundred years. And at first glance, this is a bit scary. We go from less than a billion in 1800, and then 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7.4 billion where we are today is happening even faster. So Melinda and I wondered whether providing new medicines and keeping children alive, would that create more of a population problem? What we found out is that as health improves, families choose to have less children. And this effect is very, very dramatic. Now, 11 billion people, still a lot, but the good news is that the faster we improve health, the faster family size goes down. And so we can feel great.
Tracy, there's so much horrific about that. I don't even know where to begin. And I've heard that audio before. I've seen that video before. Just the most basic part of it is, look at all these human beings who now live. How frightening is that? These people really are monsters, aren't they?
They are. And, you know, for him to say we were actually worried about helping people remain healthy because there'd be too many of them, that's the crux of the entire clip right there. It's so many levels of wrong, down to the fact that honestly, I would argue that Bill Gates is not making anybody more healthy. Literally, no one is more healthy because of anything that Bill Gates has done. I would argue he's decreasing the population because of his quote health. So if he wants to pretend for the public's consumption that he's trying to make people healthy, that's fine for him. But he's done the opposite, and thankfully, people are waking up to that more and more every day.
Tracy, RFK Jr. and Bill Gates can't possibly get along with RFK out there talking about possibly banning pharmaceutical ads on television. Now, I don't like turning on the TV and every other commercial being some ad for Zoloft or whatever other weird thing they're pushing, but can he even do this?
He can do it, and I think that it's something that he may be seriously considering. He talked about it on the campaign trail quite a bit. It's almost like you have to put a bunch of disclaimers about how these drugs can hurt you, which is why people are chuckling more and more, because most of the side effects also include death for most of these medications. But Big Pharma is running media. All of that ad money goes into media, a lot of it anyway. So if that funding goes away, I would be so curious to see which news stations stay on air and which ones don't. I don't know the last time we marketed a drug to people. The rest of the world doesn't do it, save another country. I forget which one it is. There's only one other country in the world that actually markets pharmaceuticals directly to the consumer, with pretty green bushes and chirping birds and people dancing around while they talk about how, you know, terrible things will happen to you if you take the drug. Take them off the air. Not needed.
Okay, what's the controversy around soda and Snap? And look, you're the health freak. I'm the unhealthy one. But I will say this. This is the only health freak contribution I'm going to make to this conversation. The difference for me with soda or not is 5 to 10 pounds. If I'm drinking it, 5 to 10 pounds up, I don't have to make a single other change. If I stop, 5 to 10 pounds down. So what's the controversy?
So there's a host of other things going on when you're drinking soda outside of weight gain. I'm going to get on you. We'll make you into a fit young whippersnapper in no time. But the controversy here is only that the government SNAP benefits that are meant to help support needy families who need food are allowing for the purchase of soda and junk food and all kinds of other stuff. And states have to get waivers to make it so that that doesn't happen anymore. And when you're going out and you're buying soda and you're buying Twinkies and you're buying all this other stuff with tax dollars, you know, my money, I don't want to be feeding a lifetime of metabolic disease, weight gain, diabetes, and everything else, which then makes the person who unfortunately can't afford all of their own food dependent also on government-run healthcare. And it's just a nasty, violent wheel. So nobody's banning soda or advocating for banning soda. People are just saying, we don't want tax funds being used to buy things that are going to ultimately make you more of a, you know, make you more sick and more dependent. We want to empower you to buy food that is going to make you healthy and less dependent. And that's basically what the goal is.
RFK right now is reviewing baby formula. Now, if you ask my wife, she'll go on a long rant about baby formula, but so I'm going to allow you to take the stage here. Do you like it? Do you hate it?
Well, I think it's important for some mothers who can't breastfeed or don't want to breastfeed. The problem is that every single baby formula that was tested by Moms Across America, an organization run by Zen Honeycutt, had heavy metals and some even had like other chemicals in them. So 100% of the formulas tested had heavy metal contamination far above the legal limit, which I argue should be zero. So we're not only feeding our babies high fructose corn syrup and all kinds of other nasty stuff, but heavy metals. And so what the HHS is doing right now is saying, we're going to take a look into how the FDA can work to make our baby formula not toxic for babies. Seems pretty common sense to me. People don't realize this, but baby formula at this point in time is sickness formula. It's got a whole bunch of nonsense in it that babies shouldn't really be consuming. So if you can breastfeed, breastfeeding is best. But if you need to supplement with formula, you should be able to buy formula that's actually pure and not contaminated with mercury and aluminum and other metals. That's what that's all about.
Tracy, can you help me understand really quickly before I let you go why heavy metals are in anything at all? I guess I don't understand. There has to be some explanation. Who's creating baby formula and saying, hey, we need to put Metallica in there?
I think that it's more a case of the methods that they're using, the things that they're grinding up were probably treated with chemicals and they're not being, you know, they're not sourcing ingredients well. It's a manufacturing issue. It's a cutting corners issue. It's a nobody's ever going to really notice issue. And they were tested and noticed. So now it's time to fix it.
And I would argue that corporations shouldn't be allowed to cut corners to the point where we're getting metals in baby formula, just like you just said. I don't want Metallica in my Similac. So, yeah.
No doubt about it. Nothing else matters after all. Tracy, thank you. I appreciate it. Lighten the mood. Next. All right. It is time to lighten the mood. And look, I always enjoy lightening the mood with beating up on dirty communist reporters. And hey, for a long time, for the longest time, I was understanding if you wore a mask. Wearing a mask was never my thing. But again, I'm a big personal preference guy. You want to wear masks, it's your business. If you're still wearing a mask in the year of our Lord, 2025, you're an insane person. It was just a couple weeks ago, we were at the airport and some mask-wearing, absolute tub of goo TSA agent decided to start screaming at my son because he couldn't understand her because she's been flying, and the mask on. So look, at some point in time, you have to start shaming people. Trump does it pretty well.
How would you handle it if a state like California were to put in place education policy?
You know, I haven't seen a mask in so long. You're wearing a mask. So nice of you. I haven't seen anybody wearing a mask in a long time. It's good. You feel more comfortable, right?
Yes.
Good. That's good. So go ahead.
That's so condescending. Good, good. Good for you. I'll see you tomorrow.
This is an iHeart podcast.